family. Good morning to all of you watching from the fellowship hall. And good morning to all of you watching from home this morning. Glad that each one of you is with us. Today we're in Proverbs chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 22. If you're using one of the Bibles that we provide under the seats, you will find this on page 528. Page 528. As soon as we found our place, I'll begin in a word of prayer, and then we'll consider the passage together. All right, let's pray. Our Lord, we are so grateful to be gathered together on another Sunday morning to fellowship with each other and to worship you. Lord, how could we take this moment for granted, given all that we've been through this year? So we thank you for this precious time. Lord, I thank you for those in the auditorium who have come. Lord, would you bless every one of them? Lord, thank you for those in the fellowship hall. Lord, would your every blessing be on them? And Father, thank you for those watching from home. And I pray that as we minister the word to them, that you would stir their hearts with love for you and a greater commitment to you. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I speak. Might my words be clear, understandable. Might they find receptive hearts. Lord, we want to be wise. So we pray that you would help us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So every person has a passion, and most of us have more than one. When I was younger, my passion was cosmology, that is, the study of the physical universe. I was enchanted by the immensity of the universe, by its beauty, its complexity, its history. And I poured myself into the study of the heavens. I even joined a local astronomy club. I was the youngest guy there by at least 50 years, but I didn't care because I loved the subject. I created a notebook for myself where I would record the names of the heavenly bodies, and I would record their distance from Earth, their size, their power output, the direction they were traveling in the heavens. I remember my first time using the internet. I was at a public library, and I went on the internet to look at images of the Hubble Space Telescope. At this point, you might think I'm weird, but you know what? You guys have your own passions too, and I think some of them are weird. Some of you are really passionate about guns. Okay? You're not violent people, but you love guns. And if I were to talk to you about guns, you would tell me all the brands, you would tell me the history of them, you'd tell me about all the different kinds of ammunition, you know all the accessories, you know everything there is to know about guns. Others of you are passionate about fashion and design. You love looking through the magazines to see what the latest fashion trends are. You love seeing what's coming out of Europe. You know what's in season this year and what's out of season. I probably horrify you every time I come to church and you realize that I have mismatched a tie with a jacket, or I've got black shoes and brown socks or something like this. But you just love to study fashion. Others of you are passionate about sports, and it is killing you right now that there's no football and basketball season is at least temporarily suspended. You love nothing more than to study about the players, and you love following the stats and spending your weekends watching the games. And I could go on and on. Every person has something they're passionate about. Most of us have more than one thing. Friends, do you know what needs to be at the top of our list of passions? It's the pursuit of God and His wisdom. That's got to be at the top. The pursuit of God and His wisdom. To know and to love the God who made you, and to have the ability to see the world around you the way God sees it, so that you can make good decisions that glorify Him and lead you to a better life. That's what you most need. And that's why the book of Proverbs is in our Bible. You see, God in His grace knows that we need Him and His wisdom. And so He has devoted an entire book of the Bible to these topics. The book of Proverbs is here to cultivate wisdom in our lives. God also realizes that the pursuit of wisdom does not come naturally to us. It's difficult. It's very easy to get excited about things like sports or fashion because these pursuits don't require character change. But if you pursue wisdom, your character will need to transform as you learn more and more about the mind of God. It's hard work. And so God has given us an entire book of the Bible to show us why we should be excited about the pursuit of wisdom and how to pursue it and all the good that will come to us if we will. And so today we're in Proverbs chapter 2. We're looking at the entire chapter. This would just be a survey of the verses. These verses are part of the first section of Proverbs, which is designed to get us excited about having wisdom. And so this chapter includes an appeal to pursue it, along with an explanation of its great practical values. So we begin now with this appeal for wisdom. We find it in the first four verses of the chapter. And the first two words of the chapter are, "My son, my son." Remember, this book was originally written by King Solomon to his son. But this book is also given to us under the inspiration of God. And so as you read these words, "my son," here's what I want you to be thinking about. This book is coming to you from the God who made you. And these are His appeals to you as His child. So I want you to hear, "my son," or "my daughter," and think, these are God's words for me. Here's the appeal. "My son, receive my words. Treasure up my commandments with you. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding." In other words, whenever God comes to you with His wisdom, whether directly through the pages of His Word or indirectly through pastors or parents or grandparents or other godly elders, whenever God's wisdom comes to you, then you receive that wisdom. You gather it up and you store it inside of yourself. You meditate on those words. You make them a permanent part of your life. Just as King Solomon's temple became a house of precious gold and furniture, so your own soul should be a repository of the priceless wisdom of God. Receive His wisdom and make it a part of you. But you'll notice in verses 3 and 4, we shouldn't just receive wisdom when it's given to us. We should also be active in the pursuit of it ourselves. And so these verses say, "Call out for wisdom. Raise your voice for understanding. Seek it like silver. Search for it as for hidden treasures." You notice the active verbs there. We have a responsibility to receive the wisdom of God as it is given to us. We also have a responsibility, though, to seek it out. We search for it. We call for it. Practically speaking, this means that we engage in serious prayer, asking God for His wisdom. James 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." God is in possession of infinite wisdom. We need to go to Him, asking Him to share some of what He has with us. Being active in our pursuit of wisdom also means going where we know wisdom can be found. So if you're young, that means going to your parents or to your grandparents, or for anyone, going to a pastor or a godly elder. Don't always wait for them to come to you with their advice. You go to them. You have a situation in your life and you've never encountered it before. You're not sure what to do. It's presenting you with an ethical dilemma. Well, you go to those who can answer the questions, who can bring God's thoughts to bear on that circumstance. and allow them to speak God's words into your life. To be active in the pursuit of wisdom means that you'll also go to the pages of the Bible, which is an endless treasury of God's wisdom. Not just the book of Proverbs, but the entire Bible. It is an expression of the mind of God given for your spiritual good. Spend every day reading God's Word, selecting passages to memorize. Make this a top priority for either the beginning of the day or the end of the day. Listen, to be direct about it, you're not going to find wisdom scrolling through your Facebook feed. So don't start or end your day with that. You're going to find wisdom on the pages of God's Word. Start and end your day with that instead. To be active in the pursuit of wisdom means finding and then engaging with a faithful gospel church. You see, the main business of a gospel church is to take the riches of God's wisdom out of His Word and then to expound it in ways that can be understood and applied to life. So you find a church, you engage with that church, and you soak up everything that you can get there. Engage in active listening while you're at church. See, church is not meant to be a passive experience like watching a movie. You're actively engaged in church. You come and you listen with the purpose of internalizing what you hear. You are thinking about the things that are being spoken and read and sung and prayed. You're taking notes so that you can remember the things that you're learning. And when you have questions at the end of a service, you bring them to the pastor or the speaker that day, either by email or by meeting with him in person. You're actively engaging in the work of acquiring wisdom. Now, everybody has a passion in life. Most of us have more than one. You guys know that with all passions, the only way to become skillful in your passion is to dedicate yourself to it. You're not going to become a virtuoso on the violin unless you spend years of your life, hours a day, learning how to play that instrument. You're not going to become a skilled athlete unless you devote the hours and hours to practice. You see, whatever your passion in life is, whatever you want to be good at, it takes work. You've got to be willing to receive advice from people who are more skillful than you are, and then you've got to be actively pursuing it as well. Well, the same is true with the wisdom of God. It's hard work to acquire wisdom. It requires time, energy, mental discipline. As you go, it requires character transformation. It's hard work. It doesn't come automatically, certainly doesn't come naturally to us. And so if you want the wisdom of God, you are going to have to make it a passion in your life and pursue it with all the zeal that you pursue every other passion, and more so, because this is so much more important. The book of Proverbs presents wisdom and folly as the choice between life and death, between happiness in this life and misery. The stakes are so high. So we've got to dedicate ourselves to this work. Proverbs chapter 2 also explains what will happen if we will pursue wisdom. In fact, you'll notice back in chapter 2, verse 1, I passed over this word as I started, but now I return to it. The word if, right, my son, if you do these things, then look down at verse 5, then this will flow. So make wisdom and its acquisition your great passion in life, and here's the result if you do. If you pursue it as you must, then this will be the outcome. It says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Make the pursuit of God and His wisdom the great passion of your life. And the promise of God is you will acquire it. You will come to know God. You'll know the one who made you. You will come to understand his mind on things, not exhaustively because he's infinite and we're finite, but you will know the mind of God truly. You will have wisdom. This says you will understand the fear of the Lord. We learned in the prior chapter that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Pursue hard after wisdom, and God will give you what you desire. Look at the verses that follow. It says, we know that if we pursue wisdom, we will achieve it because, verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. You see, this is the kind of a God that he is. He's a God who loves his children, and he wants his children to possess the wisdom that he has so they can live good lives that glorify him and are useful to others and satisfying to them besides. God wants that for his children. And so when his children come to him in prayer saying, God, I want your wisdom. And when they delve into his book, the Bible, searching for it. And when they receive the godly advice of their elders. And when they seek out that advice in times of need. God is pleased to reward the pursuit. You will have his wisdom. That's the kind of God he is. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. The Bible says no good thing would God withhold from those who walk uprightly. God will take that great alabaster jar, as it were, containing his wisdom. He will crack it open and pour it out right over you, filled to overflowing with the knowledge and love and ways of God. That's his promise to you. If you will pursue hard after wisdom, you will become a righteous and a just and an equitable person, which is to say, a godly, wise individual. So do you want to know God? Do you want to have that kind of a life? Pursue hard after wisdom. There are some additional practical benefits to becoming a wise person. We see those in the verses that follow. Very simply, they tell us that if we will pursue wisdom, we will acquire it, and we will not get ourselves mixed up with bad company either. You see, you want the mind of God, you will have the mind of God if you work for it. And as you're pursuing God, moving toward him, bad company will no longer be a temptation for you. You'll be moving farther and farther away from it. You'll be protecting yourself from those that you could get caught up with and that could ruin your life. Look at the verses that follow. We'll look at verse 11 now. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. And here's what it'll do for you. Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, people who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways. Listen, this world is filled with some wonderful people, but it's also filled with devious people. It's filled with people who are so perverse that they actually delight in causing destruction. And people who are not content just to burn and riot and destroy themselves, but they want you to come with them to participate in the mayhem. And they're going to make appeals to you. Come, join us. It'll be a thrill. We'll get what's ours. They'll finally get what's coming to them. Come with us. Join in this kind of a life. And it may seem appealing to you. It may seem like fun to join with the fools in their folly. Consider the rioters who recently attacked the city of Chicago. By the thousands, they packed into buses and trucks, made their way into the city's retail district, and then unloaded, and they looted, broke windows, destroyed property. They shot two people. They injured 13 police officers. What possible justification did they have? These were people who are lovers of lawlessness, stirred up by a handful of social media influencers, and off they went into the streets. Never would have done this on their own, but they were enticed by the appeals made to them online. So off they went. Without the wisdom of God, you would join them too. But live by the wisdom of God, and that kind of foolishness will not appeal to you. You see, God's wisdom will protect you from joining with that kind of crowd. You will see through the lies that they speak. You will embrace true justice, true equity, not the perverted form that they are trying to peddle to you right now. That's what God's wisdom will do for you, protect you from that kind of a life and the results that will inevitably flow from it. It'll protect you from something else as well. Look at verses 16 and 19. It'll protect you from the lies of the lawless, but also from the lies of the lascivious. Verse 16 says, "So you will also be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth." That means she abandons her husband, forgets the covenant with her God. Her house sinks down to death, her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. You see, there are also going to be times in life when you are tempted by sexual immorality. Vast majority of you are probably already feeling those temptations right now. Maybe you've got a coworker who has begun flirting with you, and she makes you or he makes you feel really special. And you are tempted to follow those seductions right into your coworker's bed. Or maybe some nights you're surfing the web at home and you're looking around, you're realizing, hey, I'm the only one here right now. Nobody would notice if I veered off onto an explicit site. No harm done, right? Or maybe you and your spouse have kind of hit a rough patch and the things aren't as good as they used to be. And so now your eyes are open to other opportunities. You're beginning to look around. There isn't a person in this room who isn't vulnerable to the temptation of sexual immorality. Most of us probably feeling it right now. God's wisdom will protect us from succumbing to those temptations and from experiencing the devastation that flows. Did you see the end of the verses? It said, her house sinks down to death, her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Just like the appeals to join the lawless mob, the appeals to take up with sexual immorality offer a thrill. They offer the opportunity for you to throw off all restraints, just do whatever your passions tell you to do. But the end of it is ruin. This week we heard some tragic stories from Liberty University, a conservative Baptist institution. It all started when the president of the school, I won't be terribly explicit here, but it all started when the president of the school tweeted a picture of himself with pants unzipped, standing next to a young woman, also pants unzipped. He quickly pulled the picture down, but by then it was too late. The world had seen it, and an investigation began. The investigation uncovered a long history of sexually deviant behaviors by the president of that school. His wife was involved as well. And it went to the board of the institution, and he was fired from his job. And now for the rest of his life, he will be known as the disgraced former president of Liberty University. Now, how could that happen? An evangelical Christian leader surrounded by other Christians in a protected environment, yet to succumb to the temptations of sexual immorality and thus make shipwreck of his whole life. And who knows what reverberations this will have for the university and for the constituencies? How could that happen? Well, it happens when you abandon the wisdom of God and you say yes to your sinful passions instead. The wisdom of God will protect you from the temptations brought by anger and lust. Listen, these are the two most powerful emotions, two of the most powerful emotions that humans can experience, anger and lust. Without the wisdom of God to guide you, they will lead to ruin for yourself or for others. You allow anger to take over your life, you will loot, you will steal, you will riot, you will beat, and maybe even kill. Allow lust to take over your life, and you will give up your marriage, you will give up relationships with children, you will ruin institutions. You will inflict your own body with diseases that will never go away. You will dishonor the God who made you. Anger and lust left unchecked can do untold damage. Our only hope for channeling them into good, God-glorifying, healthy directions is if our minds are saturated with the wisdom of God, so we know what to do with anger, how to turn it into righteous anger that leads to good actions. Or to channel sexual desire into a healthy, loving relationship with a spouse and none other. Only God's wisdom will be able to override the passions of our sinful natures so that we know how to control these strong feelings. When God's wisdom is your guide, you don't believe the lies of the lawless mob or of the lascivious person who tries to entice you. You see right through the lies. You see the ugliness of it all. You see the beauty of God's ways. You see the good life that can be yours if you just follow His path. This is the great value of having God's wisdom. In fact, we see the conclusion here in verses 20 through 22, a summary of the whole chapter. It says, "And so you will walk in the way of the good." This is what will happen. Make the pursuit of wisdom your passion, and God will give it to you. Once you have it, protected from the lawless, protected from the lascivious, in short, you'll be walking in the way of the good. You'll be keeping to the paths of righteousness. Verse 21, "And the upright will inhabit the land. Those with integrity will remain in it. The wicked will be cut off from the land. The treacherous will be rooted out of it." Look, bottom line, you reap what you sow. You embrace God's wisdom, you will have a life of virtue and security now and forevermore. Choose a life of folly, and you will ruin your life. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next year. Maybe it won't fully catch up to you until you transition from this life to the next, but it will catch up to you. You know, if you embrace the wisdom of God, you're not promised security against job losses and cancer diagnoses and things like this. But you are protected from making bad decisions that will ruin your life and the lives of others. And even if you should face a job loss or a cancer diagnosis, with God's wisdom, you will know how to manage that news so that it does not crush you underneath its weight. That's what God's wisdom does. So it behooves us all, my friends, to pursue hard after the wisdom of God, to make this the one passion that envelops all of the others. The stakes are so high, we cannot neglect this sacred responsibility. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the time that we've had. Lord, another really direct, in your face passage from Proverbs. Lord, we see in it how important wisdom must be. You want us to pursue it. You promise that if we do, we will acquire it. And we will save ourselves from the destruction that would be brought by sinful anger, sinful lust. Lord, we do want to have good lives. Lives in relationship with you. Lives that bring you pleasure. Lives that are useful. Lives that are filled with meaningful relationships and productive work. Lives that will bring joy to us. Lord, we know all of these things are bound up together. It's impossible to be happy without being wise. We cannot be satisfied with our life if we don't know you. So help us, Lord, to see how these two desires come together. Help us, Lord, to pursue hard after you and your wisdom. Lord, for those who have not yet taken the first step of faith, I pray that you would lead them this very day, Lord, that they would call out to you from their seats or seek me or another leader in the church after the service, that we could finally help them, Lord, to close with you, to take that first step, embracing the fear of the Lord. Lord, that's your desire for them and ours too. Lord, we pray all of these things in the name of your Son. Amen.